preach this evening, and I tried to think of what would be appropriate during the Christmas time of the year. First thing that came to my mind was soul winning, and how I could relate soul winning to Christmas. You know how we always go there. Well, I thought I'll lay off of soul winning a little bit, but I thought about bus ministry. And how could the bus ministry relate to Christmas? And you know what I thought, preacher, as I was reading the text, Luke chapter number 2? It's possible, if you really look into the Greek, that the shepherds came to Bethlehem in a bus. If you really search the Greek, I think you're going to find, and that's good preaching right there. You know, the shepherds bringing gifts to Jesus, and so we could go there. Or, I mean, you can think of all kinds of things. The star that led people through the night is like the lights of a church bus leading people to Christ. And there's so many applications. But I decided not to go there this evening. Instead, I am going to ask you to go to Luke chapter number 2. And I tell you what, instead of reading really deep into the Greek, we're just going to take a look at the English. How does that sound? Luke chapter number 2 is where we're going to be. It is a special thing to have my family in town, because we don't get to be together very often, sometimes twice, most often maybe once a year, we have the opportunity to see each other. And it is a special privilege, of course, for me to be able to preach this evening because they're here. And it's even that much more special for Petey and for Denise and myself to have the opportunity to spend Christmas with them. You know, when you have family coming into town and there's that pre-arrival frenzy of making sure everything is just right and ready to go. You know, you have guests coming over and you want to make sure everything is just in order. And so just before their arrival, whether it be a day or two, you're getting this ready and that ready and making sure everything is just right. Well, they arrived in town yesterday, Saturday about noon, right about the time we were finishing up with visitation. But Friday was spent doing some of those last-minute things, whether it be cleaning up the garage a little bit, mopping floors, you know, some of those things that we all do, don't we? We're not the only ones, are we? No? All right. When people come into town, you have guests, you want to make sure everything is just right. That's the way we all are. You know, as we read Luke chapter number 2, we're going to read about a guest, so to speak, who arrived onto the scene. Yet, in the story of Luke chapter number 2, what we're going to find is that the preparation, so to speak, did not appear to be all in order, like we would want them. Now, we have a guest come over. We want everything to be just right. We want it to go perfectly, nice and smooth, just like we planned, and we want everything to look like it was placed there with care and love and was just cleaned yesterday type of thing. That's how we want everything to appear. Well, in Luke chapter number 2, as we read about the birth of Christ, as I've been doing for the last several days this Christmas season, that's really been my concentration, is just reading through the Scriptures, something struck me that was very interesting that I've never really put much consideration into before. Here's what it is. If you read Luke chapter number 2 from the perspective of a young parent, so to speak, who is getting ready to have a child, just had a child, but it's really fresh on their minds, we ask them to come to the chapter of Luke chapter 2 and say, could you read this, please? And they don't have an understanding of what comes at the end of the story. The Savior is born. They start reading Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1, and they get all the way through verse 15, 16, 17, and they think, wow, this Mary and this Joseph really had a rough time giving birth to this little child. You know, if they didn't have an understanding of who Jesus was, that's where their focus would be. What a rough time this young couple had giving birth to this child. And as we read the story tonight, I think you're going to notice that. It wasn't all perfect. It wasn't just right. Like we always want to have things ready for our guests. There were a lot of things that came up that were bleak and discouraging and trying in the birth of Christ. Now that leaves us with one of two conclusions. Either number one, God forgot to take care of the details. Which, of course, none of us are going to agree with that. Or number two, is God wants to teach us a lesson in the way Christ was born. Not just the fact a Savior has come, but take note of the way in which He has come. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to start reading with verse number 1. And we are going to approach it with eyes that are going to ask the Lord to teach us some important lessons about how He came to this earth, not just why. Because we know the why, we know the when. Now what we need to know is what do you want us to learn through the circumstances that surrounded it? For example, look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Okay, let's stop there. Have you ever had somebody who is an authority, let's say a president, who says, this is what you're going to do, and you just almost chafe at the fact that, oh, he wants me to do this again, and we have no choice. Don't we oftentimes feel that way when the government continues to put further and further restrictions upon us and we feel like, okay, all of our rights are being taken away. Next thing you know, they're not only telling us what to do in public, but what to do in our vehicles. Next thing you know, they're going to tell us what to do in our homes. Government, government, government. What do you find in the Christmas story? And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, the government is stepping in. And then look at the very next phrase, that all the world should be taxed. How many of you like taxes? No. Somebody just gets a job and they get their first paycheck and boy, they're excited because they know they're getting paid $7.50 an hour. They know they work 10 hours and they're expecting something real specific. They look at the check and thought, what happened to 75 of my dollars? You know, this is my first paycheck. Well, that's taxes. Taxes is something that is a real negative thing. So here you have young Mary, you have young Joseph. They've received a decree from the government. This is what we have to do. The decree says you're going to be taxed. And who's to say that Mary and Joseph were in the place where they were so wealthy that a tax meant nothing to them? You know, most people aren't in that condition. And so a tax is something that is a big deal. More money. Not to mention the fact in verse number 2. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Here's a decree. You have to pay a tax. And now, Mary, we're going to have to load up the camel because we're going to need to take an emergency journey. You ever been involved in an emergency trip? Like, for example, Clem and Donna tonight. They found out that their family passed away and they are up and out of their house and on their way to Illinois as fast as can be. You ever felt the chaos, the tenseness that comes with an emergency trip? Something has come up and we have to get there now. Here's a decree. There's going to be a taxing. Mary, we're going to need to take an emergency, unplanned trip into a distant land. Look at verse number 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. You know that once it gets near for a lady to actually give birth to the child, she's not allowed to get on an airplane. You know, there's a certain point where you can't fly. Well, back in these days, there wasn't a certain point where you couldn't load up on the donkey and head out. You know, there was no point. I'm sorry, ma'am. You're almost due. You can't load up and take a distant journey. Boy, there's a decree. We're going to be taxed. We need to take an emergency journey. And now we have to head on this journey with, yes, Mary, even though you're great with child and very nigh unto birthing. We're going to have to take this trip. Wow. Do you see how, if you read it from the perspective of not so much biblical, but historical perspective, this is a tremendous thing that this young couple is going through, isn't it? Let's keep reading with verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Not only is she great with child, they just took the journey. All right. We're having a baby in a distant land. Now, we're not at home. There's no comfort here. Where are we? We're giving birth to a child in a place that is not our home. That is uncomfortable. And then verse number 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Not only did she give birth away from home, but she gave birth in a very unique setting. You're talking in a stable. Is there a lady who would really like to give birth in a stable? Oh, excuse me, horse. You know, I need room for my elbow. And I, can somebody get that camel away? You know, I have to breathe. You know, I don't know what this, laying on hay with the stench of a farmland. You guys, some of you are familiar with that. So that's the circumstances and the situation. That was the unique birthing place of this couple. Not to mention they wanted to find another place, but there was no room. So here we are from inn to inn. Can we stay the night? No. Can we stay the night? No. Can we stay the night? No. And you know what's very likely is that the innkeepers knew that there would be an influx of people coming in for the taxing, which meant what happens when there's a lot of people coming into a hotel? The hotel can raise the prices. So who's to say that Mary and Joseph aren't standing there with this huge influx of people coming into Bethlehem? Do you have any room for the inn? How much money do you have? Sorry, you don't have enough. A higher paying customer will come. And the next place, no, no, no. And so they're not only a unique birthing place, but there's no place for them even to stay the night. And then finally the child is born. But then you heard this morning that as soon as the child's born, there is an immediate death threat. There are soldiers coming to kill every child 2 years old or below. Mom, does it sound like the kind of situation you'd like to give birth to a child in? It sounds rough, doesn't it? Do you see how when you read the scriptures, you think, wow, what challenges? There is a bleakness. There is a despair. There is a sadness. There is so much, humanly speaking, that this couple went through to get to the place where this child could be born. But the bottom line is that the child was born. And I love this text about the birth of Christ. It's one of my favorite texts. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. After all of these circumstances, the birth came, the child cried, and laying in Mary's arms was the God of very gods, clothed in human flesh, here to save mankind from the sin that put them in despair and would send them to hell, right there in the arms of this mother. Trial, 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 trial. The hope of the world has arrived. The one that the prophets told us about, he's here. God incarnate is here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is here. The one from the seed of David, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God with us is here. He is in her arms. And all of the negative situations and circumstances that surrounded the birth of Christ all came to its climax when the Son of God, God Himself, came and was born. And it's as though a ray of hope was shed on that small city of Bethlehem. And it was as though there was a cry that said, there is hope for mankind. The one that you have been seeking has arrived. He is here. What bleakness turned into hope. I love that about Christ. You know, here's the interesting thing. And this is what I've concluded after this week, after reading through the text, is that from the bleakness and despair came the hope of the Son of God. And I believe that through the process of the birth of Christ was not only to come a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, but were to be lessons that you and I can learn that will highlight to every single person who ever reads the story of the Savior that despite and no matter what circumstances and situations you face or you go through, there is never a time and there is never a place where you lose hope. Hope is always there. I like that. Well, let's think about it. You remember there was a decree. What is that? The government exercising control over our lives. You've been thinking a little bit about that lately, maybe? You probably have. Well, boy, you know there were people that probably went into discouragement and depression the day after the election. You know, there were Christians that thought, what is going to happen? We have a man who has more leanings towards Islam than he does Christianity. What on earth is going to happen? And there were some Christians who were just discouraged about the election. Let me tell you, I think Mary and Joseph have been there. And you know what I think their conclusion was? No matter what comes up with the government, there is always hope. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. And then from the decree, there was taxes. Anybody been a little concerned about money recently? Maybe? Well, I know I have. I've been afraid I'm going to lose my job recently. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. But do we not hear every single night how bleak our economy is? Every night? Do we not? I bet, preacher, I hear it from you. How often do I hear it from you, preacher? 3 or 4 times a week, probably. A day. You go out to lunch with him, and that's what we hear about. Listen, there's a lot of it going on. No, that's good. I mean, we need to be ready for it. But there's a lot of doom and gloom when it comes to the economy, isn't there? Our young married Sunday school class, I've been saying, don't go into debt. Don't spend any money that you don't have to. Save everything up that you possibly can. Everybody's thinking right now, everybody's thinking about the economy, money, finances. You know what's hurt me, and I think preacher too, I could speak for him, is that we have had some good people recently who have lost jobs. You know that? You know, there are still people in our church that are in this room this evening who have lost their place of employment. It's not bad workers, not doing a dirty job, a bad job, or undercut. You know, none of that. Just lost jobs. You know, that hurts us as pastors because we know that there is a strain and a stress that comes with that. And I know that there's all kinds of people in here who have had finances on your mind. Christmas morning, you're going to get up December 25th, this Thursday. You're going to walk to the Christmas tree, and there's going to be gifts underneath the tree. When you see that tree and you see those gifts, remember that Christmas is not about the gifts. It's not even about the tree. It's about the birth of a Savior. And remember this, that in the midst of everything that took place in the birth of our Savior were things that could teach you and I. One of them being the tax and financial situation that Mary and Joseph were in. And despite the negative financial situation that they faced, you know what they learned when it was all said and done? Never lose hope. Never lose hope. So you're here and nobody knows how you're struggling financially or what you're experiencing or what the forecast is, but you. I say God does too. And God tells you through the birth of our Savior, He understands when you feel the financial strain. Don't lose hope. Ever. And then you go to the emergency journey. Hey, we're going to have to head out. Let's go from our home. Let's go from what's comfortable. Let's load up this donkey and camel, I know I keep changing. Let's head out of here. Not so comfortable, is it? You ever been in a place where things that at one time were so comfortable are no longer as comfortable as they used to be?
Boy, things used to be comfortable, and we used to not have to worry about this and not worry about that. When we put gas in our car, we didn't have to worry about it. When we needed to pay our mortgage, it was no concern with the interest, all that. Oh, no concern. We go to the grocery store, groceries were low, no concern. But it seems like all of the comforts that we were so used to a few years ago, haven't things suddenly become not so comfortable? I'm telling you that loading up everything that you can, which is not much, we're going to find out, putting it on a camel's back with a young lady, heading out and thinking this is a challenge, yet at the very end, Mary and Joseph learned, don't lose hope. And I'm telling you, if you feel right now like you're under a stress and a strain that is causing you to be a little uncomfortable so much that on a daily basis you're thinking about what's making you uncomfortable, I'm telling you, allow the Christmas story to teach you this. Don't lose hope. And then what about traveling while pregnant? Never experienced it, obviously, but I have a wife who has had one child. Now, she did really good in her child, you know, carrying the child and Pete and stuff. But I know there were times where she was exceedingly uncomfortable. You know how sometimes, Pastor Morris, I carry got like this at the end. Sometimes, ladies, towards the end, they're so big and so ready to go, bellies, just pure belly, just baby. The baby is so big and so ready to go in their bellies that you just see them and you feel bad for them. I just wish that you'd have that child. I just feel bad for you. Sometimes some get like that. Well, can you imagine being in a situation and there you are ready to birth this child, but then you have to sit on this camel and go like this for hours? Can you imagine the discomfort? You know, I'd say this. I bet it would have even been considered to them a hardship. A hardship. You think you're going through a hardship right now? Or maybe you feel like there's one right around the corner. You see how the birth of our Savior, not just the fact that He was born, but the way in which He was born teaches you, hey, you're going through a hardship. Don't lose hope, because you're going to see what comes. And then, of course, they get to the Bethlehem. They have the child. They have the child in a place that's completely outside of their comfort zone. And I think some of us have been pushed outside of our comfort zones. The place is absolutely unique, the birth of the child. You know why? All they had was exactly what they needed. Only had their needs. You know, Christians, we're used to having our needs, having our wants, having our desires, having our wishes, and having our wildest whims come true. And most of it can take place with this small little card that's about that big that all you have to do is swipe the credit card. You know, there may come a time where all we're going to have is our needs. Can we do it? We're going to find out, maybe. I don't want that, but we may find out. You know what? May the Christmas story teach us tonight, if it comes to the place where all we have is our needs, don't lose hope. Hope is always there. No place to stay the night. They were rejected over and over. And then when Christ was born, immediate persecution. So whether it be rejection or persecution, the Bible says, don't lose hope. Christmas is a time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is a time where we run to the Christmas tree and we open up gifts, not because we're special, but because we remember the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind in the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, coming to be born so He could provide salvation for everybody. The way in which He came to this earth was just as important as the fact that He did come to this earth. Because the way in which He came to this earth tells every single person in this room tonight that you have hope. In your financial situation, you have hope. In your personal situations, you have hope. In your work situations, have hope. In your family situations, have hope. Whatever it is you need tonight, the Christmas story screams out to each one of us, there is
hope. And I'm telling you this morning that when Christmas time comes, don't get so caught up in the commercialism. Don't get so caught up in the gifts. Don't get so caught up in everything that society says Christmas is about. When you get up Christmas morning, no matter what is going on in your life, you stand up tall, you walk up and you head towards that family, and you know that Christmas is here, and you tell your family no matter what you're going through. Guys, we have hope. Because 2 Thessalonians says that your hope is good. 1 Peter says your hope is lively. Hebrews says your hope is steadfast. Proverbs says your hope is gladdening. Romans says that your hope makes you not ashamed. And it also says that your hope allows you to triumph over difficulties. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 12 says, rejoice in hope. And I say to us as Faith Baptist Church, the family that God has placed here together, no matter what you're going through, you're experiencing, or you're having to try with right now, rejoice in hope. And may this Christmas season the words, rejoice in hope, resound through your home. Hope. Father, thank you so much. There's one thing tonight, one thing that we've wanted to look at. That's this, hope. Because I know there's a lot of people in this auditorium going through a lot of different things. And I want us to look at the hope that we have in the midst of everything that we're going through and Mary and Joseph went through. When it was all said and done, at the end of the story, there was hope beyond compare. That became a reality. I pray you'd speak to hearts this evening. I'm going to ask everybody if you could stay in the auditorium and not leave. Very quietly and reverently stand up with me. We're going to sing hymn 280.